Welcome to Happy Hour. This is Victor Stephen Caymont from Pierce College in Woodland Hills, California on KPCRadio.com, where community comes first. Today it's my pleasure to have four guests. The head of the industrial technology, actually the chair, and three of his students. And we'll discuss different programs, different alternative fuels, new programs we're offering, the automotive program. But let's start off by having everybody introduce themselves. Tom, you want to start?
My name is Tom Fortune. I'm an automotive instructor at Pierce College. I'm the department chair of industrial technology.
Nice, nice. And how about we just go from right to left?
Hi, my name is Lucas Champion. I'm a student in automotive technology.
My name is Patrick Aysen. I'm a student here at Pierce College, taking all the automotive classes as well as the welding.
My name is Adam Downey. I've been taking classes here for about 2 years. My major is also automotive service technology.
Nice. Tom, why don't you start out telling us a little bit about your department and the program and what you're doing?
Well, the industrial technology that I'm the chair of includes automotive service technology, the welding program, CNC machine shop program, drafting and engineering program, and electronics. So I kind of oversee all of those areas, but my focus and my job and my training is automotive service technology.
Nice, nice. And how about you, Lucas? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started taking classes here probably about a year and a half ago. And, just started taking my first class with Tom Fortune doing engines, and then just continued with all the other stuff that they have, like brakes and suspension. And, you know, and then finally I landed a job at Sunrise Ford as a technician. And that's where I'm currently working right now. I also take welding, too. It's part of the industrial tech program. And enjoy working on cars and welding things up and different things like that.
Are you going to compete in the competition with the welders this year?
Not this year. Maybe later on, once I build my skills up a little bit better.
And what high school did you go to?
I went to Granada Hills in Granada.
Do you have any future plans for transfer? Do you have any goals, or you just want to get a certificate?
Just get my degree, AS degree, and then maybe transfer after that.
What is an AS degree?
It's the applied science. Associates of science. Sorry.
And how about you, Patrick?
Oh, I'm kind of the same boat as Lucas Champion over here. We actually took our first class together, engines with Fortune, and we've kind of been kind of on the same track the past few years.
That'd be a nice title for your department, Engines with Fortune.
Yeah.
And what high school?
Reseda High School.
Reseda.
Yeah.
Okay, how about you, Adam?
Well, my first class was brakes and suspension a couple years ago, and I merged on to a couple other classes, and now I'm taking the alternative fuels class with Michael Van Dyke, and I actually really like that class. Because you learn all about hybrid safety and how to work on hybrids and other types of fuel.
And what high school did you go to?
John Burroughs High School in Burbank.
Okay, so you guys are pretty much all Southern California guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. Do you miss the snow?
What snow?
Well, I used to live in Oregon for a while, so we got snow every once in a while.
Yeah, my brother called me up. They had the power down in New England for 3 to 5 days. It's like 300,000 people without power. I always tell him how much I miss the winter and the snow, and he just gets really mad at me.
Imagine that in Southern California.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That'd be scary.
So why don't we talk a little bit about your department, Tom, and what you do and any new programs coming up?
Well, I know the most about the auto program since that's, what I work in daily. Actually, I'm a product of the auto program. I got my associate's degree in automotive service technology in 1975. And at that time, the automobile was a much simpler vehicle. and so was our program at that time. I think back in the early 70s, we offered about seven basic auto classes and a couple of lab classes, and that was pretty much all it took to get a certificate, plus about another 18 units of general ed, and you could get an associate's degree. Today, we have easily double the number of types of classes in the auto program. So, you know, back in the 70s, we didn't have computer control. We didn't have emissions testing. We didn't have hybrid cars. We didn't have alternative fuel. We didn't even have to offer basic introductory auto classes because a lot of the students that we got back in the earlier years came from good high school auto programs, and as probably you may know, most of them are shut down. So if we don't have our basic auto classes, our fundamentals class, then we get students that come in and they don't know how to use tools, they don't know how to work safely, they don't even know how to change a flat tire. So that's a big part of our program, our fundamentals program.
I wasn't aware that that they taught so much automotive in high schools out here. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, well, they don't do it anymore. That's the problem. And so while there's interest in auto, and there are some, in the San Fernando Valley, there's about four auto shop programs at the high school level in the San Fernando Valley. But there's probably, you know, 35, 40 high schools in the San Fernando Valley. So, you know, in cost-cutting, you know, attempts, they've eliminated the program because it's expensive to run. So now we get these students that, you know, they're not around cars anymore. Back in the 70s, a car was a lot of young guys used to work on their cars themselves. You know, it was easy to do. You know, so it was a little simpler program.
Yeah, so I used to race cars when I was back in the early 70s. And, yeah, the engines were pretty basic. Now, like you said, it's got to have so many machines and computers and everything just to get them.
If you want to be an auto technician today, you need to focus on your skills and electronic diagnosis. Because everything that's coming out, and even the stuff that's here today, all the emissions controls, fuel injection and stuff's all electronics. You know, the federal government's going to mandate that cars get, I think, 40-something miles per gallon. You're going to have 6, 7, 8 speed transmissions. They're all going to be electronically controlled.
Wow.
So
much for the old days when the rule was just make sure you got a coat hanger and a pair of lady stockings in the trunk and you'll be good to go.
Okay.
Well, I meant to fix the engine. You can use the stockings for a fan belt, and you can, you know, wire stuff together if you got to.
Very good. One of the things that we're on the verge of and hopefully will work in our favor is an expansion of the auto program. You know, all of those new classes that I mentioned are all offered in the facility that was originally built in 1968. And so we have in the works, we've selected a contractor, a design-build contractor, to expand the program, and it's about a $32 million expansion. And in it, we'll have an alternative fuel, dedicated alternative fuel lab, hybrid lab, and emissions testing lab. And one of the problems that you have today with hybrid technology is those cars have very high voltage. And if you look at a service manual to properly service the voltage center on a hybrid car, you need to have an area coned off of approximately 10 feet circumference around the car. We don't have the space to do that properly in our current facility. So while we've been fortunate to get the equipment to teach the new technology, we're really at the busting of the seams as far as the facility goes.
And why do you need 10 feet?
Well, what happens is those cars operate at some of them as high as 300 volts, very high amperage. You see these, they look like welding cables that run the car. And the situation is that you could get into a situation on a battery change or something like that on a hybrid car where the technician actually starts cooking like a piece of bacon across the battery. And they want it so that when you are doing a battery change in a car, that nobody comes by and bumps into you while you're working. The area is supposed to be coned off. And in fact, you're supposed to have, I think, what's is it the word, a grappling hook? It's like a fiberglass.
A fiberglass hook
on a pole that has like a curved hook on the end. It looks like what they used to use in the vaudeville act when it wasn't going well and they'd go out and pull a guy up. You're supposed to keep one of those in case a technician is shorted out and in full cardiac arrest. You're supposed to keep one of those handy and wear the insulated gloves.
Yeah, the gloves are Cat 3 and are rated to 1,000 volts.
Yeah,
that you have to wear.
These guys know, they've taken the class. I've just had a few seminars, but it's serious business.
Is that expansion coming through the bond measures?
Yes, it's part of the Proposition J bond, there's been a lot of stuff in the paper. That bond is, those funds are starting to come to the end there, and we're still a little bit in limbo, but we're hopeful that we'll get the expansion. We certainly need it. Without it, I can't see where the program will be able to move into this century in a positive manner.
Yeah, I guess there's some talks going on right now that they're worried about the money running short and maybe not being able to do some projects, including the Media Arts Department.
Right.
When is the next meeting for that?
I'm told Thursday. They're going to have a meeting. I think it's the PCC.
A week from Thursday or no? Tomorrow, you mean?
Yeah, tomorrow.
What time is that meeting?
I would be speculating at 2:00.
Well, is that open to the public?
I think so.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to support that, you should go down and to the PCC. Where is the PCC meeting?
Well, I don't know where they normally hold it, but there's a room over there at the end of the business section that's a theater classroom. Do you know which one that is?
Oh, 3200?
The journalism, where they have the journalism one.
Yeah, where
class.
They show the movies.
Right.
And
that's where they had it last time. My guess is it'll be there again.
Yeah, so you're welcome to come down and support the auto department. This is such a huge thing. I actually live in Malibu. I moved to L.A. 35 years ago, and when I first moved here, you couldn't see the mountains. You couldn't. It was just smog heaven. I mean, it was terrible. I had a passion for being here. That's why I stayed. Otherwise, I never would have stuck around. But now it's improved. They may say it's bad, but it's improved so much. And now, it's so funny. I just got a report from I go to Toastmaster, and this guy's a top retired research scientist. And everybody, I don't even know how they can debate whether we have global warming or not. But we definitely, what we produce definitely affects our environment. So this is a huge thing because automotive, like how many cars are out there?
Well, there's probably double the cars on the road from 35 years ago. And I, too, remember where, smog alerts were just part of the summer. And now we've done a good job. We've doubled the number of cars. And most of that's through fuel injection, emission testing, catalytic converters. Of course, there's the CO2 thing now. Mm-hmm. They say that the modern automobile is cleaner than the typical lawnmower as far as emissions go.
That would make sense.
You know.
Now, what did you get into this? How did you get into this? Do you have an environmental consciousness, or you just like cars?
Yeah, I just like working on cars or anything mechanical pretty much. I did take stuff in high school. We did have automotive there. So I took those, and then one day I took a couple math classes here just to, brush up and stay busy. And then I actually finally looked through the catalog and seen that they did have an automotive program. So, I jumped all over that because it seemed fun and I could actually get a degree in it. So to me, it was, a no-brainer for that. So.
Do they promote Pierce College Automotive in the high schools locally?
We visit the area high schools that have auto programs. We do that on a fairly regular basis, about once a year, go and talk to the students. That's our best source of students. We also have contextualized math and English classes here on campus that we promote to the auto students in high school. And my approach is that if they're in a good high school program, that's where they need to stay. They could still come to Pierce while they're in high school. So my focus is let them stay in their good high school auto program until they graduate, and they can work on the English and math because we know they all hate it. I should have said that, but let's let them get that out of the way. And in a lot of instances, like in the case of Van Nuys High School, they get elective credit for the math and English that they take here at Pierce, and they get college credit here at Pierce.
That's
at the same time, and it's free.
Yeah.
So. Well, for those students that don't like math and English, we actually offer the automotive math and English.
That's what I was.
Yeah. So
that's what I was trying to say. Yeah. To contextualize math and English.
That's great. And so what are you doing, Patrick? Why are you doing automotive?
Oh, well, I just really like it. I decided to take a class here 2 years ago, mainly because, you know, I got tired of paying other mechanics to do the work. And I was like, well, if they can do it, why can't I? So I decided to take a class, and I ended up liking it. So now I'm in it for the long run.
So you're hoping to go into this profession eventually?
Yeah, not as a technician myself, but maybe, you know, a business owner.
That sounds great. And how about you, Adam?
Well, my dad's been racing for a couple years.
Oh, nice.
And he actually just got his NHRA license a couple years ago. And so I was used to hanging around the drag strip, and I love going fast. So for me, working on cars, going fast, that's hand in hand.
You know, when I was young, I'd grown up in Massachusetts. When we used to go up to Montreal to have fun, and there was no speed limit. I almost got killed.
Nice.
That's the good news. But, it was wild. I mean, absolutely zero speed limit. Just go as fast as you. And, you know, that's when we had all the hot cars.
Yeah.
That's when gas was, you know, reasonable, like, you know, 25 cents a gallon. Or maybe, yeah, about that much.
Well, let me tell you something. Going fast, we had a guy at the school a few weeks ago, might have seen it in the paper. He has a Volkswagen converted to electric. Car goes 90 miles an hour.
Wow.
It's got lithium-ion batteries in it. It's got about 100-mile range. He built it himself. Guy's a Pierce graduate. He's a software engineer in some company locally. Pretty smart guy. And I think in the alternative fuel class, I'm sure they've seen the video of the guy from Oregon that has this 72 Datsun little sedan. It's an electric-powered car, runs 10 seconds in a quarter mile. And, you know, if you're into drag racing, you know that that's a pretty stout car that runs 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So the potential for alternative fuel and electric and performance is huge. You know, some of them have learned that in their race car, for instance. If they have a race car, they run race fuel in it. They have high compression. They're finding out that if they go down and find the E85, which is kind of hard to find in California, but it is around. E85 is 85% ethanol. It's a renewable. It's a less greenhouse gas. You know, it's certainly not without its controversy. But they're finding in a car that makes about 400 horsepower that there's about a 30 horsepower gain on the dyno by changing the fuel. So performance is not lost in emissions and in clean air and the environment.
That's fantastic. So your dad races? I mean, what did he do before that?
From what I've known, he's raced all his life.
And does he do that as a profession now, or does he do it?
No, he does it as a hobby, but, you know, he'd like to make it a profession.
And he goes up on the racetrack? And
There's
actually, do you know of any tracks around here where you can go and wind your car out?
On a drag strip, closest place I know of where you can just drive in off the street is Irwindale on Thursday nights. Used to have Palmdale. They closed it down. If you got a little more money, you can drive in off the street and run at some of the races at Fontana and Bakersfield as well. So
they used to have a lot of those, you know, real professional drag racing, and then ones that were, I don't know how you describe them. Wild. I mean, just, you know, spectacular, audience-inspired.
And they just have the World Finals?
Yeah, they just had the World Finals in Pomona last weekend.
Nice.
And that was the pro category.
Were you able to attend that?
No, but my dad did.
How'd he like it?
He loves it. That's why he races.
What speed do they get up to on those tracks?
They get up to 300 miles an hour in the quarter mile.
Oh, it's a straightaway.
Yeah.
How about for actually going around the loop?
Around here, there's Irwindale. That's pretty popular. They used to have Saugus Speedway up in Santa Clarita, but that closed about 15 years ago. Most of the racers went down to Irwindale, and they run there. We've had a few students over the years that are interested in that. We had a fellow a couple years ago that was actually working at the Irwindale track and brought a lot of free tickets. Didn't you guys go down there?
No,
I remember that kid, though.
Yeah. He had a lot of free tickets, and the guys went down there, and he worked for a company that they did people could go in and pay money to drive a real race car around the track. So he did a lot of the pit work for that organization, and some of our students were involved in working on some of the stuff down there. It's pretty exciting.
And then there's California Motor Speedway, which is over by Fontana as well.
Right.
Which is also a round-and-round course.
That's a little more upper-end NASCAR kind of a track, isn't it?
Yeah, but if you have all the safety stuff on your car, you can run it over there.
Oh, okay. And then there's other places. Was it Willow Springs out there where a lot of the kids go?
Yeah.
I think they have I'm told they have a drag racing out there. They don't want any trailered-in cars. So, you know, it's a fine line. You know, I think alternative fuels are the best opportunity for a young person to get some performance and still drive on the street. Otherwise, if they take a car that runs on gasoline and it's newer than 1975 and they start messing around with it for performance, they run into the emissions regulations. And it's kind of a dead end deal. So,
yeah, I recommend. What do you recommend? To me, it's always good to learn. And I think if you're going to go fast, they do have tracks that you can go and learn how to drive fast. So, I mean, when I learned backstreet racing. So, I almost got killed today. You know, I was coming here from Culver City and traffic was moving along, and for whatever unknown reason, the guy in front of me slammed on his brakes, and I was dead. But I braked it just right and came within a millionth of a hair of, you know, getting really wasted. So,
certainly, if you go to a licensed facility, safety is the first order of business. Your car has to pass a basic safety technical inspection. So, you know, the proper safety measures are taken with regards to the car. You know, they have people on hand that are trained in dealing with you if you're hurt, because there's an ambulance there. The track is set up so that the spectators don't get hurt, and that's the best environment to be doing that kind of stuff.
So your department, so that's interesting. You guys have been working on an electric car over there for a while, right?
We have several electric cars, actually. We have one car that we've converted. It's a Volkswagen. And we have two cars that were donated to us that were made in Norway. They're called a Kiewit. They're a little small fiberglass-bodied car, sort of a little commuter car, straight electric. We have another car that we're working on. It's a Scion XB, one of those little toaster vans. We're working on doing an electric conversion on that car. And in addition to those, we have a Honda hybrid car. We have a Honda CNG car. We just got a new Volkswagen clean diesel vehicle. Did I miss anything?
Well, actually, the Volkswagen, the engine looks similar to a gas engine, and it runs cleaner than most gas engines.
You're talking about the clean diesel?
Yeah. It runs really clean for a diesel.
Yeah.
So you said, so there's electric cars and there's hybrid cars and what else you
natural gas there's we have in our engine department we have about 40 teardown engines in there, and if you come in and you take an engine class, and these guys will tell you, It's a running motor. You do a basic compression test on it, leak down test, test the mechanical capability of the engine, and you tear it all the way down and inspect it and put it all back together, and the engine has to run at the end of the class. And it takes about 15 weeks to go through that motor properly and put it all back together and get it running. But we run all of those motors on propane.
So we're going to take a break here for 5 minutes, and we'll be back with Tom Fortune and Lucas and Patrick and Adam. And so we'll see you in a few minutes. Stay tuned for some special announcements. Oh, welcome back to Happy Hour on KPCRadio.com. It's your host, Victor Stephen Kamont. So we're back. What's up? What makes you happy?
Cars.
Working on cars.
How about you, Tom? What makes you happy?
What makes me happy? Well, successful students. I mean, that's really what it's all about. At the end of the day, when a student comes back and, you know, maybe he's driving his new Corvette or something like that, and he's working over at the Mercedes garage, or he's the service manager over at BMW, or the head technician or something like that. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, talk about job security. I mean, I don't see cars going away anytime soon.
No, I think what's happening in the auto industry today is you have folks like myself that are on their way out, and folks like Patrick and Adam and Lucas here that are studying the new technology and, you know, taking the time on their nickel to learn the technology. The business of just getting lucky and finding a job at an auto repair shop is, you know, maybe you'll get a job busting tires. But, you know, if you're going to do emission control work or solve check engine light problems or something like that, you need training and lots of it. And you need to get your hands on some equipment that's not going to be found in the backyard garage. And you need to work with it and practice with it and stuff. And that's what these guys are doing.
Yeah, and actually, as far as your resume, even though you're going to school, that's actually considered work. So that's part of your continual knowledge.
It's 2 years training, I believe.
Yeah.
Training?
Yeah.
Yeah, the AS, which is the automotive service, automotive science major. When you get that, it counts for 2 years towards automotive. So you can get your ASE credits.
Nice. Well, you were talking a little bit during the break, Adam, about, you know, where people can go with this degree and what they learn here at Pierce College.
Well, there's a bunch of people that have gotten hired by dealerships. There's a couple people working at BMW in Calabasas. There's a couple people working at Sunrise Ford. There's a couple people working for the FBI now, working on their cruisers and stuff. So the job opportunities are there. You just got to go find them.
So I guess the days of fixing your own car in the garage is sort of a dying breed in a way, isn't it? Because the technology, you have to have the tech. I mean, you can still do basic stuff, or you could buy an old car and work on it.
Yeah.
But you really need to know a lot of advanced stuff now.
Yeah. A lot of times you have to have, you know, $5,000 scanner just to look at the sensors and get the feedback on, you know, if they're working properly. You know, not the average guy at home has that type of equipment, you know. So we're fortunate in our program to actually work with that stuff almost every day. And, you know, pretty much when you do get a job in the field, that's what they're using too, you know. So you're not walking in on a new job and seeing stuff that's not familiar. You know, you already had some training on it. We also had the Snap-on training for their new diagnostic equipment as well, so works out pretty good.
So I guess the conspiracy theorists would say that they made cars so advanced so that everybody has to go to get them fixed and pay more money. But what brought about the new technology? What is the basic?
I think staying green is the new focus for car makers nowadays, you know, and as far as the fuel, you know, prices being so high, they're focusing on a good fuel economy and being green at the same time. A lot of smaller vehicles nowadays, you know, they're partial zero emission vehicles, which is, you know, is great to say. I mean, you know,
zero emissions,
partial
emissions.
Yeah, that'd be like a hybrid vehicle, which when you pull up to like a red light, for example, it shuts off the gas engine and it runs all on electric. So at the red light, it's producing no emissions. And then once you take off, when it turns green, it waits until a certain speed and then the gas engine kicks on. So that for that certain time span, it's zero emissions.
And you're saying that the technology is coming up where they're actually going to have a lot more power, too.
It's already happening.
Yeah.
There, I understand that Porsche has a hybrid vehicle, and the focus is performance, some kind of an SUV.
You know, you probably heard this story. Actually, they made a movie about this. It was sort of an underground movie, but it actually showed in movie theaters. I remember I helped put on the Malibu Film Festival, and they gave us they would give you an electric car because they were trying to publicize it. So all these towns built all these electric charging stations, including Malibu, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they called back all the cars, crushed all the cars, and all the money that people had invested into these recharging stations was sort of out the boot. But then recently I heard in Malibu that they're actually starting to utilize those again, the electric charging machines. So what have you heard about that?
That movie was Who Killed the Electric Car?
Who Killed the Electric Car?
Yeah. You know, it's energy problems, in my view, are not a technical problem. They're a political problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people that are really happy with the way things are spending lots of money to keep things the way things are. So, you know, one of the things that, in my view, would be just a no-brainer, real easy deal would be natural gas. We've got plenty of it, they say. And I know there's some issues, you know, down the road. You know, everybody says how clean is an electric car is, and if you want to just focus on the car, yeah, it's real clean. But if you focus on the cord and where it goes, and we in the industry call it the tailpipe extension, if that cord leads to a coal plant that's belching out crud in the air, then it's not so clean. You know, so I think our answer really is going to be a smorgasbord of fuel, be it electric, natural gas, propane, ethanol. I think gasoline will still be a player, biodiesel, diesel, all of these things. And I think if we get to a point in our country where we go to a fuel stop and it's a smorgasbord of fuel, and they'll have fuel for whatever you're driving. He's driving electric. I'm driving natural gas. This guy's running on ethanol. This guy's over here on biodiesel.
I was wondering what was wrong with this problem.
You're driving an electric car, and you could go to one stop and get refueled, regardless of what it is. That's where we need to go. And that way nobody will have a real lock on any one thing, and some things are more suitable for different kinds of use, depending on what you're trying to do.
I know one of my friends from Texas for the Bass family, his grandfather actually was the first one to capture natural gas as a byproduct for the oil industry, because actually they used to just let that stuff go. And so I wonder, the gas that you know in fracking, is that what type of gas, is that natural gas too?
Yeah.
That's the only unfortunate thing, I guess.
Well, there's issues with all of it. And, you know, even wind, you know, people don't like looking at them. I guess they catch birds. You know, there's all kinds of stuff out there. And I think we've gotten where, and I'm talking too much again, but I think we've gotten where we are today because we've put all of our eggs in one basket. And there's a lot of other opportunities out there, and we should be working on it. And it looks like that's what we're doing.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I don't think people realize this, but, you know, they had trolley cars in San Francisco, and they had subways in Los Angeles, and actually the oil companies bought them up,
Tire
and they're still there, buried in concrete, just so they could control their monopoly.
Sure. Yeah. You know, that's another one, mass transportation. And pitching the program again, a lot of our students work for MTA, too.
Oh, that's good.
So.
Now, one of the problems with the electric cars, and I'm sure they've evolved in it, is the battery itself. I mean, you invest in this car, and then it's supposed to run a long time, and then and then I've had problems with batteries. Is that, how's that evolving?
Well, the batteries have come a long way in the past couple of years. Now we're working with lithium ion, which are supposed to work about the same as a gas engine lifespan. So rather than replacing a gas engine, you replace the batteries, which are about the same cost at that point. And then you keep going for another 100,000, 200,000 miles, depending on the car. And, you know, for the person that only needs an electric car to go 100 miles a day, commutes here to L.A. and back, electric car is perfect. But for somebody that needs to commute from here to San Diego and back every day, they're going to need that gas engine or that CNG or something with a little more range.
And what happened with the problem of battery disposal? Is that a problem or is that something they're working on?
Well, that's one of those things that where you talk about the tailpipe extension, huh? And, you know, for years they've been recycling batteries and rebuilding batteries, and I'm sure that like a lot of electronic components that you throw away, there are hazardous waste and stuff, and a lot of that stuff's getting recycled out. And I'm sure the same thing's going to be going on with batteries.
So are any of you students here working on any projects in the department, like the electric car or anything in the industrial department?
Well, my dad actually gave me a couple years ago his 1987 Chevy Camaro, and I'm working on throwing in a newer motor so it gets more miles to the gallon and it's cleaner on emissions, and it's got more power than it ever did.
Even though it's a smaller engine?
Yeah. It's more reliable. You know, rather than getting 15 miles to the gallon on the highway, I can get it up to 27, 28, maybe even more on the different fuels.
That's fantastic. So let's slip away here for a minute. What are your particular passions, or what do you really enjoy in life? Start with you, Patrick.
Well, as part of this program, I took a fabrication class with Fortune again, like last year, and it really opened up the door for me and the things that I found liking more. I got into welding and fabrication a lot, and now I'm building my own, you know, my own things. Build stuff for motorcycles, off-road trucks, and things of that nature. And a lot of it, you know, had to do with the program that I've been in here. You know, it's really helped me come a long way.
How about you, Luke?
You know, I just enjoy working on cars, and to me, it's like a inside. You know, like I like, you know, when I'm at work and I diagnose something properly and then I get it fixed, and then to me it brings me joy, like, oh yeah, you know, I was right, or oh, I got it done, you know. So it's like every car that comes in the door, it's like a, you know, gives me like a, just makes me love it more, you know. So then, you know, people that don't understand things, and then you fix their problem, and then you just kind of relate it to them, they enjoy it too, like, oh wow, you know, like the other guy didn't tell me nothing, or you know, didn't, you know. So to me it brings me joy just fixing things and, you know, getting them back on the road, or, you know, stuff like that. So
you guys are totally committed. Even in your spare fun time, it's all about cars.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And how about you, Adam?
Well, like a lot of my friends who have older cars, they always have me do oil changes or call me up and say, hey, you know, my car's not running right. It has a check engine light. And I'm able to bring it in the shop and diagnose
it
properly.
Will you be my friend?
Right. Sure. Just bring your car on by and we'll take a look at it.
Wow.
I think that's another great thing the auto department offers. You know, if anybody does have car issues and they're on a tight
budget. That's a good point.
Yeah, they're on a tight budget. Let's say a student, teacher, faculty member, anybody, anyone you know. You know, you could bring it by and you could have the students do their work on it, you know. And it's all free of charge as far as the labor goes. You know, you're just responsible for parts. I think Tom knows more about that.
I guess the only problem with that is you need a second car or a wife or somebody to drive you around. But
yeah. That's the thing. We've all become dependent on our cars nowadays, you know.
We have to be careful with that because it is a school, and repairs, while we can do the repairs, they need to fit into the curriculum that we're involved in. You know, if they come in and they've got a stereo problem and we've got a transmission class, you know.
Yeah.
And the other problem we run into is their expectations as far as when the car will be done are not compatible with what we're able to deliver.
Yeah.
And so a job that might take a day at a regular repair shop might take, you know, a couple weeks for us to do. So.
So tell me a little bit more about the cars you're working on over there. Are you doing this independently, you know, as a teacher and a student to learn? You know, that almost sounds to me like as you develop your program, you might even get sponsorships from car manufacturers.
We have received vehicles from the automakers over the years, from Ford and Nissan, Toyota, General Motors. Excuse me, Honda, a lot of the manufacturers over the years. And we look forward to doing, you know, more business with the manufacturers as times go on.
And what is your goal as far as electric cars that you're working on? What do you plan on doing with those?
Well, as far as converting cars to electric, I think our most ambitious project right now is the Scion XB, and our goal is to get the car to run, you know, freeway speeds, enough to get you a ticket on the freeway, and 100-mile range.
That'll be the new marketing thing. This car is ticketable.
Yeah. Right.
And that's, you know, it's going to take some money and some resources, and I think we're going to do it, and we have the people to do it. We have a lot of fabricators, you know, around that can do it. And we know the technology. If we don't know it, we know where to get it. We know who to talk to. We're making contacts with people in the industry and in the community that are doing it. And, you know, we'll do it.
So you really enjoy teaching here at – have you been at Pierce for a long time?
I have been a teacher at Pierce on and off since 1982. That's the first time I taught transmission class, actually. And I started teaching on a more regular basis, in 2000, and I was hired full-time in 2005. So I've been here a little while.
Nice. So this must be nice for you to see that hopefully you're going to get some new facilities to teach the students.
We desperately need it. I can't see how the program's going to move into this century and take care of the things that that are here now, as well as what's coming down the pipeline. There's pretty exciting stuff happening. there's some technology out there with compressed air that we haven't talked about. You know, who knows? I mean, I never thought, you know, 40 years ago that we'd be looking at cars with the electronics that they have today. It's just difficult to imagine. I don't even try to imagine it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you never know what they're going to think of next.
Yeah.
Well, I know I had the AeroDeaf people on my show when they had won that competition for the wheelchair. Will that bond or what, the new buildings, will that include the whole department or just automotive? I mean, are you going to get new welding facilities or new... a machine shop or anything?
No, the bond for the auto program is primarily auto. There's some machine shop equipment in the auto building. It'll be relocated because we need the space. And there's some other folks that are in the building across the street from auto, the Applied Technology Building. And it looks like they're going to be moving and some of the expansion in other areas on the campus, so that's going to make room for the machine shop to move into their space. So there are some other things happening on campus that benefit us as well. Once that whole facility is done, you know, the whole west end of the campus over there in parking lot 8 will have a whole new look. It'll be a focal point of the campus, and it'll be a good thing for the campus. Very nice.
What year are they supposed to start or finish that, if they do it?
Well, a lot of the new facility will be where the present plant facilities is right now. And they're moving out of there, I believe, at the, what, next month?
December 1st.
December 1st. Oh, you would know.
Yeah, I work at shipping and receiving here at Pierce College, which is across the street from automotive. We're supposed to be moving December 1st and 2nd. So then after that, automotive can move right in.
Well, so you're going to take over that whole...
They're going to tear down those old buildings over there, and Mason Street's going to become a pedestrian promenade, and the auto facility.
Oh, really?
The auto facility will be on both sides of Mason, but Mason will be just a promenade, I guess is the proper term for it.
You know, the mall.
Kind of a little mall.
Yeah.
It'll extend down to the Center for the Sciences and up to the little road that drives in right there and over to parking lot 8.
So they'll still have the old facility building. They're not going to tear that down? No.
The plans are to upgrade it. It has some ADA issues with the restrooms and stuff. I'll give you an idea. 1968, apparently they didn't have women because they didn't have a women's restroom in the auto shop. So now they've managed to take an old faculty restroom that's a one-seater, and that's the women's restroom, totally inadequate.
Yeah.
We have several women in the program. A lot of them are working at dealers, technicians and stuff, very successful. By the way, women do very well in the auto program. They give most of these guys a bad time when it comes to grading their tests. It's usually the women that are on top.
Yeah.
So they do very well.
Well, this show's going by way too fast. Seems to happen a lot. So maybe we'll take a couple minutes and each of you can maybe say what you've learned or give it a little advice, not just so much about cars or automotive, but in general to inspire students. This show also goes around the world, so it's an international show. So why don't we start with Adam.
Well, I actually just received a couple automotive service excellence certificates, which you need to get to be certified to work on cars. And those help to build a foundation for a nice solid job at maybe Ford or BMW or Mercedes and get a good starting point, and then you can branch off from there. So,
nice. I really think that the program's really unique. It doesn't just actually teach you about cars and how to work on them, stuff like that. It also teaches you other skills that you could apply to your regular life. Like right now, you know, we're in a AST8 class, which is pretty much a lab class, but also an operations class, which, you know, like lets you know how to like manage a business and things of that nature. I think it's a really good program, and I've benefited from it a lot, and I hope to continue taking class here for as long as I can.
How about you, Luke?
Well, yeah, like Patrick was saying, you know, the AST8, that's what we're currently taking, you know, helps you with shop, like how to run a shop and different things like that. It's helped me a lot with, even at my job, how to document and you know, call people back and interact with customers and time management. That's what it really helped me with, you know, like how to really, you know, manage my time on real life jobs and stuff when it counts. You know, you could be doing stuff, you know, the wrong way, get it done quick, but it's not really the right way. So that's what I've really liked about it, you know, and plus the learning of the new technology and stuff like that.
It's all about learning. I took this test yesterday. There was 20 questions. The first question said this, and you only got 4 minutes to do the test. I don't know if you've heard of this before. And then you get down and it says, okay, everybody hand their test in. Okay, who answered number 16? Number 16 was only answer number 1 and 2. So everybody just raced through it. So the point is to just be conscious and be aware. So, Tom, I'll let you have the closing words. Anything you'd like to say? We got a couple minutes and a half here.
Boy, there's just so much to say. You know, it's a long-established program. We have Tom Rosedahl over there, who's been one of the instructors there, who's also the Academic Senate President. He's been there for 25 years. He was a student of the program originally. I think that a lot of our part-timers that we have over there are students of the program. We kind of grow our own. And you know, we have people come back to us that are out in the industry. You know, we mentioned that we have people getting hired by the FBI garage. There's a guy over there, Rick Romans, that runs the FBI garage, former Pierce Auto student. So, you know, we're pretty well established in the community, been here over 40 years, a lot of successful shop owners and fleet managers around town, and we look forward to continuing doing that for the next 40 years.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot of pride in your department, and like you say, people come back, that's a good sign.
Yep, and You know, in closing, these folks enjoy working on cars and showing other people, you know, what their skills are and stuff. And a little bit about myself, it's that's what I do, except I do it times 40 or 50 every day. And so what they're getting out of it, I'm getting it times 100. So.
Well, thanks, everybody, for being on the show. And this is Victor Stephen Kamont with Happy Hour, where community comes first in Woodland Hills at Pierce College. Go Brahmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Perfect timing. Thank you.
All right. Sweaty.
So how do we hear this one?